opening narration.
Acatra Foundation presents the Acatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Acatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Acatra Dialogue. Today we're diving deep into the life of Marie Curie. Now, you definitely know her name, Radioactivity, 2 Nobel Prizes, right?
Absolutely, she's iconic.
But our mission today is to go beyond that textbook image. We want to understand the real person, the incredibly complex woman behind the legend. Her story, well, it's packed with extraordinary challenges, both personal and professional, that often get glossed over.
They really do.
And our main guide for this is Susan Quinn's biography, Marie Curie, A Life. It really promises to show us the struggles, the relationships, the, you know, the human cost behind those famous achievements.
It's a fantastic source. Quinn is such a meticulous biographer, known for writing about remarkable women. She worked for Mrs. Magazine, wrote for The Atlantic, The New York Times Magazine.
So she brings a specific lens.
Exactly. And crucially, she got access to French and Polish archives, stuff that hadn't been translated. So combined with her, let's say, feminist perspective, she really contextualizes Marie's fight for recognition in a field just dominated by men.
That's so important.
It really humanizes her, takes her off the pedestal a bit, but in a way that makes her more impressive, I think.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Maria Sklodowska, born 1867, Warsaw. Poland was under Russian occupation then. That must have shaped things profoundly.
Oh, absolutely. Quinn emphasizes her family background. Her father, Ladislaw, taught math and physics. His own scientific dreams were sort of crushed by the political situation.
Ah, so he poured that into his children.
You could say that. Education in that family wasn't just learning. It was almost an act of resistance, preserving Polish culture against oppression.
And there was early tragedy too, wasn't there?
Yes, significant loss. Her mother died from tuberculosis when Marie was only 10. Quinn suggests these early hardships really forged her stoic nature, that intense focus she had later.
That makes sense. It builds resilience, I suppose.
Definitely. And that resilience was tested when she moved to Paris in 1891 for university.
Right, the Sorbonne years. Quinn paints a pretty stark picture, doesn't she? Extreme poverty.
Oh, incredibly stark. Living in a tiny, freezing attic room, a sixth-floor garret, surviving often just on bread and tea.
And fainting from hunger in lectures. It's hard to even imagine.
It really is. Quinn calls it Marie's scientific asceticism. This, like, ability to find deep joy in just the intellectual pursuit, totally separate from physical comfort, or discomfort in this case.
And despite all that hardship.
She excelled. Amazingly so. Graduated first in physics, second in math. In a place like the Sorbonne, overwhelmingly male. That was a statement. She established her credentials very quickly.
Incredible focus. Then comes Pierre Curie.
Yes, a pivotal meeting. He was already an established scientist, 8 years older.
What made their connection so special? It wasn't just romance, was it?
No, not at all. It was this unique blend, a fusion of romantic and intellectual compatibility. Pierre saw her brilliance immediately. He saw her potential for original research.
He treated her as an equal.
Completely. As an intellectual equal, a collaborator. That was incredibly rare for the time. Quinn notes their courtship was basically built on scientific debates and shared ideas.
So that partnership fueled their work.
Absolutely. It led directly to their groundbreaking research on radioactivity, a term Marie herself coined, by the way.
Yeah, and her PhD topic choice was key, wasn't it? Investigating uranium rays?
Yes. That led her to discover that radioactivity wasn't just some chemical reaction. It was happening at the atomic level. An inherent property of the atom itself.
Which was revolutionary thinking back then.
Totally. It fundamentally changed how we understood matter. And her method was also key. She used an electrometer, an instrument Pierre and his brother had invented, to make incredibly precise measurements.
So a very systematic, quantitative approach.
Exactly. That's what set their work apart and led them straight to identifying 2 new elements. Polonium.
Named after Poland.
Right. And radium. Just monumental discoveries.
Which led to the 1903 Nobel Prize in Physics. But there was some drama there.
Oh, yes. Quinn details this. Initially, Marie was not included in the nomination.
Seriously? After all that work?
Yes. Pierre had to insist. He basically said he wouldn't accept it without her.
Wow. Good for him.
Absolutely.
Oh.
But then came the fame, which they weren't really prepared for. Lots of public attention. And tragically, the unknown physical cost of handling all that radioactive material. Radiation sickness, though they didn't understand it then.
A heavy price for discovery. And then more tragedy struck.
Yes, devastatingly. Pierre's sudden death in 1906. a street accident hit by a horse-drawn wagon.
Just awful. Quinn includes that diary entry for Marie.
Pierre sleeps his last sleep beneath the earth. It is the end of everything, everything, everything. Heartbreaking. It shows the depth of her despair.
How did she even carry on after that?
It's hard to fathom. But Quinn argues that this terrible loss, paradoxically kind of, liberated her scientifically. She had to step out fully as an independent authority.
And she did, taking his professorship.
She did. She took over his post at the Sorbonne, became the first female professor in its entire 650-year history.
That's just huge. A massive statement.
Monumental. But the work itself remained incredibly difficult. Quinn describes her striving to isolate pure radium, working mostly alone now.
In that shed, right. Processing tons of pitch blend.
Exactly. Stirring these huge vats of boiling ore with an iron rod nearly as tall as she was. The sheer physical labor, on top of the intellectual challenge, it's mind-boggling.
That level of dedication is just something else.
And it paid off, scientifically at least. She won her second Nobel Prize in 1911, this time in chemistry.
Making her the first person ever to win in two different sciences. Still the only woman, I believe.
Correct. An unparalleled achievement. But incredibly, it was almost totally swallowed by scandal.
The Langevin affair.
Yes. Her relationship with fellow physicist Paul Langevin, who was married, though separated. The French press went absolutely savage.
Vicious attacks, right? Xenophobic, anti-Semitic, even though she wasn't Jewish.
Exactly. Just vile. It shows how precarious her position still was, despite her accomplishments. Fame didn't protect her from prejudice.
It's a really dark chapter, but she didn't just retreat, did she? What about World War I?
No, she pivoted. This is a part of her story Quinn highlights that many people don't know. Her humanitarian work. She developed mobile X-ray units.
The petites curies, little curies.
That's them. And she didn't just design them. She got funding, helped build them, and then drove them to the front lines herself.
She drove them near the fighting.
Yes. Trained medics. Operated the X-ray equipment, often under dangerous conditions, to help locate shrapnel and wounded soldiers. It showed this incredible commitment to using science for practical humanitarian good.
That's amazing. So she wasn't just a lab scientist.
Not at all. In her later years, she became this sort of elder stateswoman of science. She established the Radium Institute in Paris, now the Curie Institute, a major research center.
Still going strong today.
Exactly. And she traveled. Fundraising, especially in the U.S., promoting international scientific cooperation, seeing science as this global endeavor.
But all that work, especially the early work with radiation, it took its toll.
It did. The ultimate personal cost. Her health steadily declined due to radiation exposure. She eventually died in 1934 from aplastic anemia. Her bone marrow just gave out.
A direct consequence of her life's work.
Yes. So her legacy isn't just the science, incredible as it is. It's also this powerful symbol of a pioneering woman who broke barriers, endured hardship, and ultimately sacrificed her health for discovery.
Core philosophy and values.
So if we try to boil it down, what really drove her? What was her core philosophy?
I think Quinn would say it was this extraordinary capacity for sheer unrelenting persistence, a deep, almost philosophical belief that scientific truth was worth absolutely any sacrifice.
That comes through so clearly.
And tied to that was her indifference to, well, pretty much everything else. Material comforts, social status, fame. None of it seemed to matter much to her.
Like that famous quote about knowledge dispelling fear.
Exactly. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less. That really captures her rationalist, almost enlightenment approach to the world. Knowledge was power, the power to overcome fear.
And that indifference to external things. Quinn gives examples, right?
Oh, yes. The famous anecdote from her U.S. tour. She was invited to meet President Harding. And apparently just said, I have no dress except the one I wear every day.
That says it all.
It really does. Her priority was the work. Always the work. And her way of dealing with all that public scrutiny, especially during the Langevin mess, was similar. Remember her quote.
Be less curious about people and more curious about ideas.
Precisely. That was her defense mechanism. Tune out the noise. Focus on what matters, the ideas, the science.
But it wasn't just grim determination, was it? There was a sense of wonder, too.
Absolutely. Quinn captures this well. Marie had this deep aesthetic appreciation for discovery. She said, I am among those who think that science has great beauty. A scientist in his laboratory is not only a technician. He is also a child placed before natural phenomena, which impress him like a fairy tale.
That's beautiful. It shows the passion behind the persistence.
Exactly. It wasn't just duty. It was fascination, wonder, beauty.
Three pivotal turning points.
Okay. Thinking about her whole life journey, what would you say were the absolute critical turning points, the moments that really changed everything for her?
Well, Quinn's narrative suggests a few really stand out. First, I'd say, has to be the decision to move to Paris and enroll at the Sorbonne.
Leaving Poland, embracing that poverty and hardship.
Exactly. It was a huge leap of faith driven purely by intellectual ambition. Without that move, that dedication in the face of extreme difficulty, the Marie Curie we know simply wouldn't exist. It set the entire trajectory of her scientific life.
Okay, that's number one. What's next?
The second, clearly, is meeting and marrying Pierre Curie. It wasn't just a personal partnership. It was a scientific one of equals.
Which was so rare.
Incredibly rare. His belief in her, their collaboration, their shared lab space, that synergy directly enabled the discovery of polonium and radium. His presence provided support, credibility, and that crucial collaborative spark.
Yeah.
His influence was transformative.
Makes sense. And the third, maybe a tougher one.
I think the third has to be Pierre's sudden death. As devastating as it was personally.
Yes, she clearly was.
It forced her into a new role. She had to become the sole leader of her research, the public face, the head of the lab, taking his professorship, becoming the first woman professor at the Sorbonne.
It solidified her independence.
Absolutely. It pushed her out from perhaps slightly behind Pierre's shadow into the full spotlight as the leading authority on radioactivity. It changed her professional standing and likely her own self-perception profoundly. Tragedy forced her into ultimate leadership.
Human lessons and reflection.
So looking back at this incredible life, what can we, you know, today take away from it? How do her struggles connect to us?
Well, there's so much. Think about professional persistence. Her years processing pitch blend. That's a lesson right there.
The slow burn you mentioned.
Exactly. Big goals aren't usually achieved overnight. It often takes years of that consistent, daily, sometimes frankly boring, unrewarding work before you see the results. Her life is exhibit A for tenacity.
That's a powerful reminder in our instant gratification world. What else?
Overcoming discrimination. Her main strategy wasn't necessarily direct confrontation, though she could stand her ground. It was more about achieving undeniable excellence.
Letting the work speak for itself.
Right. Making her results so solid, so groundbreaking, that they couldn't be ignored, even in a hostile environment. It's a strategy, maintaining dignity while proving your worth through sheer competence. Still relevant today, sadly.
Definitely. And the whole work-life balance aspect. She was a mother, a wife, a world-leading scientist.
Yeah, and she didn't compartmentalize rigidly. She integrated them, training her daughters, Irene especially, in scientific thinking. Irene went on to win her own Nobel Prize with her husband, carrying on the family tradition.
So it's about integration, not just balance.
Perhaps. Finding ways for different parts of your life to enrich each other, maybe? It's complex, but her example shows it's possible to pursue intense passions alongside family life, though not without challenges, obviously.
And their marriage itself, the Curie partnership.
A model for collaborative partnership, surely. Shared intellectual passion, mutual respect, working towards common goals. For dual career couples today, it's still a fascinating example of making it work through genuine partnership.
Finally, dealing with that intense public criticism, the scandal.
Her approach, keep your head down. Focus on the work. Don't engage with the personal attacks. Maintain your dignity. It's a masterclass in resilience under pressure, choosing where to put your energy. Don't feed the trolls, as we might say now.
A timeless lesson there.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, so if we had to distill Marie Curie's legacy into three core insights based on Quinn's biography.
Let's do it. An emotional one first.
Right. An emotional insight. Her life really hammers home that massive achievement isn't just about being smart. It demands extraordinary character. That persistence we talked about, courage, integrity, resilience. Her ability to keep going through setbacks, loss, and criticism is maybe the most emotionally powerful lesson. It's about inner strength.
All right. And intellectually.
An intellectual insight. Progress, especially breaking barriers, often depends on people willing to defy conventions and expectations, even at great personal cost. Marie didn't just do great science. She fundamentally changed perceptions about women's capabilities in science. Her success created pathways, making intellectual history.
And a universal lesson, something practical.
A universal insight. True. Authentic achievement seems rooted in clear personal values and a genuine passion for the work itself, not just the prizes or the fame. Her almost complete indifference to money, status, comfort, that allowed her that laser focus on scientific truth. Find what you genuinely value and pursue it relentlessly. That seems key.
Final thoughts and closing narration.
Quinn's book really makes you appreciate the whole person, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The struggles, the contradictions. It makes her achievements feel even more profound, more human, not just some untouchable genius.
Absolutely. It's a more realistic and arguably more inspiring model.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Just consider how many brilliant minds might have been lost to history simply because they didn't have Marie Curie's sheer dogged tenacity when facing huge obstacles, personal and societal. What potential, what contributions might still be overlooked today? And what can we do to make sure those talents get seen and nurtured? Something to think about. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the life of Marie Curie. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.